Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lee and Haley Overtime, the podcast. I'm Lee Cruz, along with Haley Herman.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it and hope that you're having just a glorious day, whatever you're doing right now. As you all know, my favorite way to listen to podcasts is when I'm driving in the car or when I'm cleaning my house.
You sound like you've got a clothespin on your nose.
I do, and will you take it off for me? No, I'm still dealing with seasonal allergies, and they're killing me.
Now,
killing me.
You say seasonal allergies, but I'm pretty sure you just caught the cold I had.
I don't know what it is. Nothing.
You don't feel good, right?
I really don't feel good now, right now.
Like, seasonal allergies.
Right before we started recording, I was like, you know that feeling right before you? I was pretty sick over the weekend, and then I was like, okay, I'm coming out of it. It must just be allergies, or just a cold that goes away on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to sink. I got that sinking feeling.
Yeah, that's,
like I feel like I'm
to me, that's more than allergies.
Real sick.
That's probably Ebola or monkeypox.
Yeah. Anyway, so. And the fact that I'm pregnant, I can't take certain.
What?
Certain medicine. So I'm feeling kind of just not great right now. But I'm going to push through. I'm going to push through. What are you petting down there?
A girl.
Lee's dog Butter is here in studio with us today. She's a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. She is very precious.
She's a puppy. And
she
so
went to eat. She dined al fresco with our whole team at lunch, and she really humiliated herself.
She did.
A dog walked up with another diner, and Butter lost her mind. She thought he was an eligible bachelor.
Yeah, I know. I got to get her a spade.
Why right don't you now, quit talking about it and do it?
Hussy. My God, she throws herself at every. She goes to dog tender, which is every blade of grass and.
Oh, he's left a note for me.
Yes, and I must bury my face in it.
Yeah. Now you keep talking about getting her spayed, but you're not doing it. What's the reason?
Well, I don't. I'm not completely in charge of her medical bills or medical life.
Okay.
There's other, you know, owners involved.
You got a partnership going on? Is she a racehorse? I got to check with the syndicate. No, well, is she in heat?
I'm afraid we're getting there. Last night, I didn't care for the way she played with me. Because, you know, she's always grabbing at my hand and all that. But this time, she sort of embraced my entire forearm.
And did what?
And when hugged it. In an inappropriate manner. And I went,
And then she hugged it and hugged it and hugged it.
I mean, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was approaching that. Like, I could tell her in her mind, she's like, this must be done. And I'm like, no.
She doesn't. She's like, I don't know what to do with these feelings.
Right.
They're never given the talk. Dogs and animals are never given the talk. We as humans understand
nonstop.
What's going on. You give her the talk nonstop, and how does that go?
I'll kill you if you mess around with some boy dog.
And how does she respond to that? She humps your forearm?
Yep. She doesn't care.
My little puppy, he never really humps me. My older dog, Ollie, my 7-year-old, he humps me almost every day.
Ollie does, yeah.
When I go to sit on the couch, I can tell when he's about to do it because he kind of jumps right close to me. And I'm like, oh, God. And he grabs my arm. But he gets really mad. He wants me to act like I don't notice. He grabs my arm. He's a big corgi.
Yeah.
He grabs my arm and starts humping. And I just have to look away and let it happen for about 5 seconds.
Let me finish.
Because nothing ever happens. There's no purchase.
Yeah, I know.
But if I turn and look at him, he barks at me.
Yeah.
Like,
don't look at me. You know, I don't like eye contact.
Or he'll growl and go, like, stop it. So I have to look away like,
so in his,
what are you doing over there? But if I look at him, or sometimes I'll like kiss his cheek like, oh, what are you doing? He's like, stop it.
In his head, your arm is a different entity.
Yeah.
Like, leave me in this arm alone.
Mom. And then it's over.
Don't look at me.
I read somewhere, because I was like, how do you get your dog to stop humping you? It was like, distract them. And I'm like, well, how do I distract them?
You're probably with a piece of chicken or something.
But I don't know. He's just feeling a lot of feels. That's it. Pick her up. God, why is your arm shaking so much?
Gained a lot of weight.
She has? Yeah, look, guys, if you're watching the video version, he just picked her up. God, she's a fat ass. No, she's precious. Hi, honey. She stopped and looked at me when I said precious. Her ears always look a little damp because when she drinks water, her ears dip into the bowl.
That's true. Her dad has the same issue. Not with my ears. That didn't sound right. I was trying to give myself a compliment. And
I too drink out of a bowl.
Failed miserably.
He's got those long lobes, always has. You're saying when you go to their men's room to
there's
tinkle.
There's no point in saying that now.
Yeah, you blew it.
I blew it. Anyway. You want
to
talk?
It's just so funny to see you with a dog because it's still a fairly new thing. It's just like seeing someone do something you don't normally do. It just seems like, is this you now? And I like it. I like Dog Dadley.
Wait till next week.
What's next week?
Start smoking cigarettes. And so does Butter.
If she can't, I'd honestly, no. If she smoked cigarettes, it would be like the long Cruella de Vil with like holder thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Anyway, okay, well, how are you?
I'm all right. Why don't you talk about your Lifetime movie debut?
Oh my gosh, you guys. Surprise. I made a cameo in a new Lifetime movie that...
Well, it wasn't a cameo, to be technically
correct. Well, what's a cameo?
Correct. Well, cameo is...
Like you're already a star. Yes. And then okay.
Well, you know,
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then that's not what I mean at all. I mean, I had a one part speaking.
Right.
One,
which was pretty extensive.
It was. I played a reporter, a big stretch, which I used
you
to
do. You had no issues remembering or memorizing your lines.
No.
I knew you wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
Not me. You give me two words and I'll screw it up. I'll say them backwards. I need to feel it.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway, it's a new Kentucky Derby-themed Lifetime movie. It's called Murder at the Derby. And it came out on Sunday night. It premiered. And so they're probably re-airing it this week on Lifetime. Yeah.
She hated it.
Butter's got a... She says, two thumbs up! She doesn't have thumbs. That's the joke. She's like, I hated it. If I had thumbs, I wouldn't put them up. Anyway, it's called Murder at the Derby. I play a reporter. It was shot all here in Central Kentucky, except some scenes. They had to shoot at other horse racetracks and things like that. But it was really, really neat. Nuo was in it with me. He makes a split second as playing the cameraman while I was doing the reporter scene. But it was just really cool. So check it out, Murder at the Derby. You can watch it on Lifetime or watch it on the Lifetime app. And then Bridget thinks Lifetime, if you just have a streaming service, is on Hulu as well.
All right.
Murder at the Derby.
I don't know if I have that or not.
Hulu?
No, Lifetime.
Do you have cable?
No, I have YouTube.
Oh, YouTube TV.
Should be
on
there.
They probably have Lifetime. YouTube TV has everything.
Okay. So.
Go ahead. Ask me the questions you want to ask.
Who was the actor you were pretending to interview?
An actor. His name is Daniel O'Reilly, I believe.
Bill O'Reilly's boy.
We'll do it live. Well, no, I'm like 99% sure that's his name, but you just put me on the spot.
Is he a local dude or was he from Hollywood?
He lived in Hollywood.
He lived?
Yeah,
there.
That's right. Daniel O'Reilly. But actually, we were filming because Bridget came to set one day. Nua and I came to set and we all got to hang out there and just see the behind the scenes. And we got to talk to all the stars in the movie and they were all so nice. Well, Daniel O'Reilly, yeah, he lived in LA for a long time. And then he said he recently and a lot of stars, he moved to Atlanta. For the quality.
There's more work there.
Well, there's work there, but also for cost of living.
Well, that too.
He was saying like the same amount of money I used to spend to live out in LA. Now I have a 4-bedroom home in Atlanta, you know? So anyway, he was so nice. He plays a villain.
No, I was watching Rob Lowe.
He was so nice.
Who was Rob Lowe talking to? Some other famous actor. And they were lamenting that there is no work in Hollywood. Like, there's nothing happening.
Mm.
One, the unions have shut them down, essentially, and the cost of living in California, because it's so mismanaged
it's crazy.
By their government, that they, it's just, everything is exported. So
everything is out, yeah.
Everything is done in other places, Toronto or Atlanta, mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about because they were maintaining offices, both of these guys, Rob Lowe being one of them, and they used to shoot, like he used to shoot his show, and then like Modern Family, all these other shows. There was thousands of shows. They're all gone. It's a ghost town. Nobody's there.
No one's filming in LA anymore. Yeah. Probably just reality shows. There's a lot of reality shows.
But they shoot those on location. Much cheaper to shoot a reality show in Mexico.
Not those reality shows. I'm talking about like The Valley or Vanderpump Rules or.
Well, yeah, but
those shows that are based
cheap,
in LA.
Again, because you're on location, really. And you don't necessarily need union workers for that.
Mm-hmm.
What? I feel like Dr. Evil holding his cat.
It does, and she's starting to fall asleep.
Is she?
Yeah. No, Lee, I'm lying to you. Is she? I pulled one over on you. Idiot. Yeah, so it was a really cool experience, and they shot most of the movie here in Central Kentucky. They shot some of it where I live. They shot some at my home and farm, and some other friends of ours. Your buddy Steve Bates, his home was featured in it as well.
They burned that one down. That was the big scene.
Yeah, they burned his house to the ground. He didn't know they were going to do that, but my God, the exposure was worth it. So yeah, please check it out. You know, Murder at the Derby.
Murder at the... Did you actually like the film? Or?
Yeah.
I guess you would have to say that since you're in it. So, but you did. It was something you'd watch.
I watched the whole movie, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't watch any of those Lifetime, Hallmark, Christmas.
I used to watch... Oh, the Christmas... Yeah, when you think... Because some people are like, Lifetime. When I was growing up, the Lifetime, like, highly dramatized movies, it was like, you know, romance movies where you're like, oh, are they going to get together? Kind of like Christmas movies, but not set at Christmas. Just set any time of year. You know, there are those, like, fall-in-love movies, but then they do a lot of drama movies that are oftentimes based on something that really happened, kind of like how Law & Order does it. It's based in a little bit of truth, but then just highly dramatized. So that was it. But then I feel like Lifetime and Hallmark, same, really blew up when they started doing all their Christmas movies.
Well, I saw The Accountant 2.
I love this.
You woke Butter up.
Sorry, Butter.
I loved it.
Guys.
Now, the film's a little tiny bit discombobulated to some degree. The plot doesn't quite follow the way it should. But regardless, Ben Affleck and his...
Affleck.
Affleck.
No, it's not to cover expenses, medical insurance.
Anyway, him and his brother, which I thought was Matt Damon, but apparently it's not. It's this other guy.
I think it's John Bernthal.
I think that's
Hottie
right.
Hottie with a body.
I think that's right. I mean, he does a lot of underwear scenes in this. So you'll like it.
But, yes, John, no H, J-O-N.
Yeah.
He's 48. He was born in 1976.
Him and Affleck are really good together. I mean, really good. Really good brother chemistry. You buy that they're actually brothers. You believe they're actually brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good.
Did you know he was in The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
He was on The Walking Dead, The Wolf of Wall Street. He was obviously in the first. He's one of those actors like you see in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Amateur that we just watched.
Yes.
He played a CIA agent.
Oh, that's right.
So he's in so many things. He's one of those actors that, unfortunately, and it happens to good actors, you're like, oh my God, it's that guy. Mm-hmm. But you never know his name. And I don't know if it's because they haven't been nominated for awards or maybe they haven't gotten, they're very, you know, they make a great living at it. They're in a lot of major roles, but it's like, for some reason, their name and recognition just doesn't break through. You recognize him. You're like, I love that guy.
I think by definition, there is a difference between an actor and a movie star. Because a movie star usually just plays the same person.
The same person over and over.
But they're so charismatic, you want to see them. The Harrison Fords,
the
John
Tom
Wayne's, the Tom Cruise, the even Ryan Gosling's and Ryan Reynolds. They're the same guy, pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. Now that you say that, I'd never be like, you know who sinks into a character and I forget they're acting? Tom Cruise.
Right.
And in no hate, he's a movie star.
Yeah. Forget what comic broke it down, but it's always the same formula for Tom Cruise. Have you heard that bit?
Uh-uh.
I
it works.
How
Why
it
mess
goes,
it up?
But it's like something happens at work where he's about to get fired or he's going to get fired. And
he's got to solve a major problem in order
to
prevent
and his buddy dies. And then, he gets encouraged by the love of his life, and then he goes back to work and he figures it out. And you start thinking of all the movies, it's essentially same thing. It's the same plot.
Oh, that's actually so funny.
But I do believe the really good actors, the people that like your John Bernthal, whatever his name is, eventually the body of work starts to speak for itself. Because I'll tell you, the perfect example is Gary Oldman. Like, we all know who Gary Oldman is now, but for 20 years, nobody did. He was just in everything.
He was like, I know that guy.
That's the guy. That's Dracula, or that's Commissioner Gordon, or that's, you know, whatever he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, he was great in Churchill.
Mm-hmm. A movie I love that he's in. Did you ever see Secondhand Lions?
Yes.
And then someone drives up his driveway, and he and his brother go, who is it? And they hold out binoculars. He goes, relatives. Damn.
Wait a minute, Gary Oldman?
Isn't he in that?
Yeah, but I thought, I don't remember that scene. Michael Caine and who's the other guy?
Aren't they brothers in that, or am I thinking of someone else?
Who are you thinking of? Michael Caine and Who's the other?
I thought it was Gary Oldham.
Gary Oldman.
Oldman, excuse me.
No, look up Secondhand Lines.
I'm doing it.
My hands are full of
butter.
Oh,
it's not him.
No. Who is it? Michael Caine?
It's that up-and-comer Robert Duvall.
Yeah, Robert Duvall.
Never mind. Yeah. My apologies to Gary Oldham. Oldman?
Oldman, yeah.
My apologies to Gary Oldman and Oldham. Yeah. You two.
Or Oldman.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
I'm sorry. Well, Secondhand Lines is a great film featuring Robert Duvall and Michael Caine.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, Gary
Oldman.
Why can't I remember that?
I don't know. He was also
in. Is there a Gary Oldham?
I don't think so. He was also in Air Force One as the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was mainly a bad guy for most of his career.
He was. He plays a great bad guy.
Yeah, because he can do any accent. Yeah. Did you see the thing with Stephen Colbert where he. Because his
fart noises and all his serious
new
roles.
Character sure. does that. That's how you're introduced to his character. He's asleep and wakes himself up by farting. Mm-hmm. It sort of startles him awake. Mm-hmm. And then Stephen Colbert says, wouldn't it have enhanced a lot of your other characters?
Here's how I remember it. He's an old man. Gary Oldman.
Okay. Yeah, Gary Oldman.
Lee Oldman. Just kidding. Yeah, I've seen that clip and it's absolutely hysterical. Mm-hmm.
Get off my plane. Mm-hmm.
You know, another actress that, like Bernthal or Gary Oldman. Gary has finally gotten his due. John, you stay with it, hottie.
He's making money.
A female actress that I feel like is the same, that every time she's in a movie, I'm like, I love her, mm-hmm. Judy Greer. Mm-hmm. And I finally made myself commit her name to memory. She's a hilarious comedic actress. She mm-hmm. always plays like the best friend. She played the best friend in 27 Dresses. Mm-hmm. And a million other movies. She played the best friend in 13 Going on 30. Look her up, Judy Greer. Because mm-hmm. I kept seeing her and stuff. And finally, one day I Googled her and now it's stuck with me. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Judy Greer is the John Bernthal. Mm-hmm. You know them, you respect their work, but you're like, couldn't tell you their name.
And another guy that was an actor who eventually became well-known, Morgan Freeman. Nobody knew who Morgan Freeman was. He was just a guy that kept showing up.
He's everywhere.
Until he started getting Oscar nominated.
Now he's in the apartments.com ads.
Yes.
And he's so good in them. You look like you're holding she moved. I was going to say a dead dog. She's dead asleep. Because you walk to work when the weather's warm. And she walked with you today.
She did. She did well.
She's
so
sleepy.
We're doing leash training right now. So in the job for her is something I try to teach, you and Nikita. You don't walk on this side where the street is. You walk on the other side. So whenever she tries to cross me, I go, nope, yank her, and she stays there. And then today, I didn't have to do it maybe once. So she stays on the side opposite of the street.
I'm proud of Nikita. Now, how's it going with Butter?
Not so well.
Yeah, that is a nice chivalrous thing that you do. Is like anytime any of us girls are walking on the sidewalk with Libby to lunch or whatever, he makes you get on the inside. And I think it's so he could get the glory.
That's right. I just want to escape.
You would run in the event of an emergency.
No, that's not what I mean. I'll take the blow.
Oh, that is.
I don't have to hear the insufferable chatter.
You love each and every one of the ladies in the office, and don't act like you don't. We add so much to your life.
Yeah.
Nikita.
Boy, I got Bridget, stories about her. I don't know if I should tell or not.
Run them by me right now, and okay. I'll let you know. Right.
Well, one, she walked out of a restaurant with a Chardonnay glass full of Chardonnay.
What? Yeah, was she in New Orleans?
No.
Okay.
No. She wasn't driving, so that's fine, but that's still...
Open container.
It's not just open container, it's theft.
The glass. I was like, she paid for the Chardonnay. She took the glass. And it wasn't one of those disposable plastic cups. No. It was a wine glass.
No.
Stemless?
I turn around, look in the back seat, and she's giggling.
Was it stemless?
Yes.
I think stemmed wine glass.
No, it was stemless.
My mom accidentally stole one of the water cups from Chili's. They serve the ones with the big handle.
I did that.
We were all at lunch once, walked all the way out to the parking lot, and she wasn't no bones about it. She didn't even mean to. She just walked out, and we get to the car, and she's like,
I did that.
What do I have this cup?
Yeah. I got busy talking.
We had it in our house for years.
And I always walk around with a cup in my hand anyway. And I had a big glass of Diet Coke, I think, in my hand in Florida. And then we're getting in the car. I'm like, what the?
Yeah, and then what do you do?
Who put this in my hand?
Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I didn't even submit questions or comments, did you?
No.
You want to check?
Check what?
By the way, if you've got a question or comment for this podcast.
Oh, someone did send one in.
Here's how you do it. Ideas@LeeAndHaley.com. Ideas@LeeAndHaley.com.
You're about to slip into ASMR territory. You were in a Masters shirt. Look at you. You know, just a couple weeks later.
Our CFO, Sandy Pine.
You didn't wear that during Masters week. Like, you had this and you didn't wear it?
It didn't come up in rotation.
Well, you need to fix rotation. The point of having a Masters shirt is to wear it during the Masters.
I can wear it whenever I want.
What, are you going to wear all your horse-related garb, including that full-body horse costume you love, the week after the Kentucky Derby?
Maybe.
That's something, if you haven't watched it, watch the new Derby and Triple Crown documentary on Netflix.
Our friend Monty binged it. He was telling me about it.
Yeah.
He thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's called Race for the Crown, and it's all about the 2024 Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, which those are the three jewels of the Triple Crown, the most, biggest, the trifecta in American horse racing.
I liked Kenny McPeak. I know Kenny McPeak a little bit. I've interviewed Kenny before, and my buddy Kenny Rice was in it. Very funny.
When Kenny won the Derby?
Yeah. Should we hug?
Should we hug? One Kenny to another. That was so funny. Kenny Rice, the legendary sportscaster. And then Kenny McPeak, the now Oaks and Derby winning.
But some of those owners, I didn't really care for it. Some of those guys, a little too flashy for me.
Jealous?
I don't think it's jealousy.
No, it's not. I'm kidding.
But some of them I did like, too. You know, I thought they were decent guys. But it's an interesting take.
It is. It just shows you a lot of what it's like. That's what I love about documentaries. It reminded me because Lee and I, you know, we live here in Lexington, which is.
And who's Kenny's jockey? Brian
Hernandez.
Hernandez. Jr. Yeah, I liked him a lot.
Loved him. And his wife. I loved his wife. She was so fabulous.
And watch his face is just, he's the Michael Jordan of jockeys.
Frankie Dettori?
Yeah, you know, that Italian.
Dettori? Dettori? I can't remember how you say it. Yeah, I never even heard of him in the documentary. I was like, oh, he slayed overseas.
Well, not, and then he comes over here and starts winning like a nut.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Like, he won like six races in a row, was going for seven.
Yeah. Yeah, he crushed. He's very charismatic and really good at what he does. But I felt the same way about this, and I hope viewers, because we're kind of entrenched in the horse racing industry here in Lexington. You know, you've lived here your whole life, so you've always known about it. And then I moved here 10, 11 years ago. My husband works in the thoroughbred horse industry, so I know a lot about it. But I feel like, I hope the documentary gave people that know about, I feel like if people don't know anything about horse racing, they know about the Kentucky Derby. I hope maybe people that just come across it on Netflix, because it was in the top 10, and watch it and learn about it, are really interested, because that, I hope they're viewing it the way I viewed, like, wrestlers. Because I have no interest in professional wrestling. It's not something I care about. The documentary made me care about it. Because it was just like, I love to learn about different aspects of life that you kind of know about, but not really.
I think the key ingredient is passion.
I'll watch
anything if somebody's passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
So it could be baking, you know, it could be horse racing. It could be the porn industry. If they're passionate about what they're doing, then it seems interesting and compelling to me.
Yeah, and
because the stakes are higher when you're passionate.
Absolutely. And also just seeing things that, learning about what people dedicate their lives to. It's great. Like everybody says, like the F1 documentary that came out a few years ago, Drive to Survive. It's on Netflix as well. Noah Day started watching that and was telling all of us. He was like, I know no one in here cares about F1, but you... And he said it was like the passion, the production value, it's so good. So.
Does Butter's eyes closed, by the way?
Yes.
Because she's snoring. I was trying to gently lift her up so you could hear it, but I could feel the vibration. Either that or she's got a... Her eyes are opening up now, I guess. I can't move her. Get her close to the mic. But I can hear the vibration.
Yeah.
Like a cat.
Little kitty cat. Anyway. But yeah, so, and then I talked about it on the TV show. My other Netflix recommendation this week is a Guy Ritchie production documentary, though. Not a TV show or movie, which he's most famous for, the director. It's called The Diamond Heist. And it is on Netflix. It's a three-part documentary about a group of criminals in London, England.
It was just a two-part.
Three-part. Did you watch one and two, and that's it?
No, I saw the conclusion. I thought it was just two. I thought it was you start with the bad guys, and you got the good guys, and then it ends.
No. Nope.
Maybe the third one was how it all played out.
Yeah. So you didn't watch
and
that?
And they get their take. No, I watched the whole thing. Okay. You hear their take, how they escaped to Spain, the coast of Spain, and then the real take, what actually happened. It wasn't Scotland Yard. It was London police that were watching them the whole time.
No, it was part of Scotland Yard.
I thought it was just London police.
I don't know how it all works together, but there's a specific unit of Scotland Yard called the Flying Squad.
I think that's London police, because I was curious about that, too.
But like, they show Scotland Yard and say, but Scotland Yard.
Well, Scotland Yard was investigating London police for corruption at one point.
What is Scotland Yard?
It's their FBI.
Okay, well, they said their specific unit, the Flying Squad.
I thought that was a London Metro police special unit.
Well, I thought it was part of Scotland Yard.
I don't think so, but anyway... One of us
what does it matter?
Well, it doesn't, but you want to stand on this hill and fight me.
But no, you started by saying it wasn't Scotland Yard.
Why can't you just be demure and go, oh, the man is right.
You're right. I need to say that more. The man is right. Butter, get your purse. We're getting out of here. Anyway, so you watched it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I told you about it, and then you never report back.
Well, I did watch it.
And?
I did tell you I watched it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. You talked to a lot of other people.
The guy's name is Lee.
Yeah.
Lee Atwood.
Wynnum.
Oh, Wynnum.
Ow.
I don't know who Lee Atwood is.
Where the hell did Atwood
come from? Probably somebody.
Wait. I want to Google Lee Atwood.
Yeah, find out who Lee Atwood is.
Oh, I'm going to get to
Lee Wynnum?
Yeah.
They interviewed his daughter.
Oh, Lee. John Leland Atwood. He's an American engineer.
Yeah, I know.
He's from Walton, Kentucky.
Oh, see?
He passed away sadly in 1999, Santa Monica.
What? I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah. He won the National Medal of Technology and Aviation.
Wow.
He was chief engineer executive at North American Aviation for 35 years. He also was a prolific criminal in the London Underground in the year 2000. They're trying to steal a diamond valued at nearly $300 million.
Their plan was pretty good. They just didn't know they were being watched the entire time.
Yeah, they didn't know they were.
They brought too much heat on themselves when they tried to rob an armored truck.
Yeah.
So they were being watched.
Yeah. But I liked it. It was
and
cute.
And the cops knew they were up to something. They just didn't know what. They see that Lee guy keeps going back to the Millennium Dome. So that was
Millennium Dome.
What about the Millennium Falcon? That's what piqued my interest. Was I started learning about that thing.
I've never heard of it.
White elephant. I've seen it 1,000 times. It was in the James Bond movie.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, it's just the world's biggest tent.
Yeah, basically.
And
is
now
it still
it's
around?
Now it's the O. Yeah, it's attached or part of the O2 Arena.
Oh, I know the O2 Arena.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Okay, cool.
Same property.
You and her look very uncomfortable.
I am very uncomfortable. I have to support her feet.
Just when I think you've got dog dad all figured out, you completely show that you don't.
Well, I'm doing a podcast. Normally, I'd be laying back.
I'm a working father.
Would you like to say something, Butter? Okay.
She's so cute.
Please.
How old is she?
I think she's like 9 months now. 9 or 10 months.
Who knows? Okay, let's do a couple questions.
Okay, fire away.
All right, this one comes to us from Nua. If you had chosen a different career, what would it have been and why?
Well, normally I always say country music artist.
Huh.
I don't know.
Like legit.
There was a moment when I was a kid, I thought, should I be a legitimate person? Am I really going into show business?
Be a fake person.
And be a fake person.
Now,
the rest
what
of
does
my
a legitimate
life?
Person do in your mind?
Well, it's not show business. And I thought I could be an attorney. I love to argue.
Oh, sure, but then all that schooling gets in the way.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that. Plus, there's a lot of, you know, like my buddy Richard. He longs for the courtroom. He wants to get in front of a jury.
The thing is, he is an attorney, so that
he is
a more...
an attorney, but he's so. You know, he comes from our world. Before he was an attorney, he was in television. Mm-hmm. So he thinks he's got an advantage, which he actually does, if he's in front of a jury, as opposed to his other dorky comrades that never did that.
Just put her up here.
She can't lay here. Although it's cool. She may like it. Get up here, butter. You want to lay here? See what you do there. I got to wash that. All right, let's see what she does. She's on the desk. If you're watching YouTube, you can see her sniffing around. She's going to come right back.
They always do.
Fill that nice, cool acrylic.
Only the best for my baby.
Yeah.
Okay, so you thought about becoming an attorney.
I think that was the one fleeting thought.
Richard, you think, wants to get in a courtroom to really live out his TV dreams of a...
Yeah, he wants to be, you know, L.A. law. He loves to argue in front of a jury. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the minutiae, although he does pretty good at the minutiae of contracts and all that other stuff.
Yeah. He wants the big Elle Woods moment where she reveals that the
firm... Because Richard really is a good student. Like, he loves to dig in and do the research, where I don't. How do I feel? That's what I like to do.
I
will expound upon that.
Butter sniffing the equipment. She's like, pretty good, and it tastes good, too. Okay, I've always said I feel like I could, if I had to switch careers now, I don't know if it'd be the same answer. I would have loved to have been a makeup artist or work at a makeup counter.
Really?
Yeah, I just love makeup, and I love the effect it has.
You like doing other people's makeup?
Yeah, I used to do all my friends' makeup all the time. I did everybody's makeup for prom, that whole thing. Perfect.
There you go. It's got to feel good.
It does. And by that, the alley context, people aren't watching. Oh, it's got to feel good. Butter has now laid down.
She's put her belly on the cold acrylic.
Yeah, she has. And by that, I mean Lee's long, luxurious fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, I've always said that, but I don't think I would have chosen that as a career because I might have early on just thought of it as a job. But I probably, you know, they're makeup artists that's their whole career, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think I could... I thought about being a pharmacist when I was in college.
Yeah, you did it for a little bit.
Yeah, I was a pre-pharmacy major in college.
Until you killed that old lady. Supposed to be nitrous glycerin. Instead, you gave her Viagra.
What a night she had.
No. My heart is racing.
Know. I mean, I just feel like I was really meant to do TV. It gives me such joy. I have so much fun doing it. You know, we hear from people that say our show especially, you know, gives them joy and happiness, and that's what we want, is to just be a bright spot, you know. But I was also very good at news as well. I felt like I really excelled in that.
Anybody joy though?
No,
just brought them sadness and darkness.
Yeah. But again, it made me feel good every day.
But
like,
that was
I felt like I stepped into the role that I was really good at.
Here you go, you got me going again.
No, please stop. Please don't. I don't want to get in an argument over it. There's no point. I also love doing this style of television as well.
I know you do. But thank God you did all that. You did that journalistic work. You were great at it. And that was your training ground for this, which how many times have I told you? There is no other woman on the planet can do what you do. So,
Are you talking to me or to Butter?
Both. So that way, now you did that, and now look at you, what you're doing now, which it does bring happiness and joy to people. The most important thing you could do.
Now, Lee, let me talk to you.
Okay.
Okay. Lee.
Anybody can do this.
There are 30 to 50 guys who could do what you do.
You're not wrong.
No. I know I'm not. No, you do. I love working with you, Lee. We have such a ball. I do feel like I would be hard-pressed to find this rapport with anyone else.
No, but you're thinking about it.
But God, am I trying. I go over applications after application. No. I do feel very blessed that we have this partnership and this show and that we get to have fun and that we vibe so well. So it's a blessing. I do feel like this is where we're supposed to be.
It is.
But that time has come to a close.
Yes. There's a firing squad outside.
You'll find yourself locked out of all of the company equipment.
And we end here at Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with a tiny panther standing on the desk.
Okay, we do have a viewer submitted question. This is from viewer Joseph Rothgery. He says, love the show from Chicago and congratulations, Haley. Thank you so much, Joe. But here he says, Lee and Haley, I have a good question here for you. If there is any TV series you would watch again as though you never saw it in the first place, which one or ones would you watch? Mine would be Growing Pains or Who's the Boss? Parentheses, 80s kid.
Yeah, he's not wrong about Growing Pains. I like Growing Pains.
Mm-hmm. See, I never watched those.
Alan Thicke, Kirk Cameron, and They were good. They had a really good, because I love the Huxtables, and what was Huxtable? The Huxtables, not the Huxtables, the Huxtables.
I like Huxtable, though.
Yeah. That's well, cute. No, I'm thinking mixed I up think with Alabama or Mississippi governor. What was his name? Huckabee.
Oh, Huckabee. I love it.
Anyway, that father-son dynamic with Dr. Huxtable and Theo was wonderful. But on the same plane was Alan Thicke and Kirk Cameron. They were really good. Because as a male teenager starts to age, there becomes this rivalry between one is trying to hang on to his youth, the other one's trying to gain his independence, and there's always a rub between father and son. Mm. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
If done right.
Yes, if done correctly.
And that was a good show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, another great was Family Ties. You never watched that, right? Mm-mm. Michael P. Keaton, who, when I was in high school, everybody's like, you're that guy on Family Ties. Everybody thought I looked like
I know of
Alex.
All these shows, and I can like recognize when people put up like the cast photos. I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard of that show. Never watched them. I was they were before my time.
It was a brilliant premise because, you know, it was the 80s and things, the culture had started to change, and it was these hippie parents, you know, that were free love, got married. They were all very progressive and liberal, and they give birth to Ronald Reagan Jr. And that's Alex. And he is the most physical and socially conservative, wears a tie to school, a suit. And they're like, how did this happen?
How did this happen?
We come from Woodstock and we've given birth to this kid.
That's hilarious. Who are the parents?
It's Meredith Baxter Burney and David Gross or Michael Gross. I can't remember his name. I think it's Michael Gross.
Atwood, maybe.
Yeah, Lee Atwood. But anyway, Michael J. Fox became a huge star.
You called
star.
Him Michael P. Keaton earlier.
It's Alex P. Keaton is his name. His name was Alex P. Keaton.
Because you said played by Michael P. Keaton. And
no,
I was
I'm
like,
sorry. Michael J. Fox, but he played Alex P.
Alex
Keaton. Yes.
P. Keaton. Okay.
Yeah. And that was his breakout role. But I remember a very funny scene where he was still protective of his little sisters. And one of them was Jason Bateman's little sister. Justine, I guess.
Justine Bateman?
Yeah, she was.
That's his sister?
Yes. They grew up together in Hollywood. They were kid actors.
But actually brother and sister.
Yeah, in real life. Yeah. I think Jason Bateman had a role. He
that
came on that show.
That has just blown my mind.
Yeah. But I think his, was it Tina Yathers, his little sister, went in front like to get, it was some exam that was done publicly. And now, Michael J. Fox's character, Alex, is like really brilliant, too, and argumentative and, you know, conservative. And these professors were out to get his little sister. Somehow he hid himself behind the podium. Mm-hmm. And they asked her this really tough question, which is unfair. And all of a sudden he pops out from the podium and goes, I'd like to take that question. And he starts to answer in a I think his parents pulled him off stage. You know, she needs to learn to do it herself. Yeah. But it was just fun to see the protectiveness of it. It's very much the moment that happened in Happy Days when these thugs were going to beat up Richie Cunningham, but Potsy and Ralph Mouth hid in the lockers, and they came out. Ralph was a little shaky, but then Fonzie walked in, and it's like,
we're done.
It's over.
It's over.
Fonzie's going to whip everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love those moments.
Yeah.
A lot of those moments happen in The Accountant, too, by the way. Gotta see it.
I gotta see it.
I recommend you watch the first one, The Accountant, so you know the backstory, because that really enriches this relationship you see unfolding between the brothers, but it's so good.
Yeah. I just recently saw The Accountant for the first time, so I'm ready for this to him.
Loved it.
All right, guys, on that note, that's gonna end this week's episode.
I saw it with Nikita and our friend Amy, and there is a scene where a man is sitting down to have breakfast and he's shot in the head and killed.
No spoilers.
And I laughed out loud. And I don't know why I did that. But apparently it embarrassed the girls. They're like, what?
You and Bridget are the same.
Yeah.
You love shocking death. We saw a movie recently where a woman gets hit by a bus and Bridget laughed out loud in the theater.
The Amateur. Yeah. It was funny.
It is funny because it's just like, what? Yeah. You and Bridget will share a cell in hell.
Yeah. Well, that's why when I see something, I know right away if Bridget would like it.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening or watching today. You can watch on the Kentucky Sports Radio YouTube channel. You can listen right here wherever you podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Leave us a positive review. If you don't like us, easy answer. Just don't listen.
Is Butter just staring at you?
She's sleeping.
Oh, she's asleep. Okay. I thought she was looking at you.
She's doing a lot of winking.
Are you that Lifetime girl?
I've seen you in a film.
But I see you.
Yeah, also check out the new movie Murder at the Derby on Lifetime. I play Reporter One. A coveted role. She comes from a long line of number ones.
Should I do my joke?
Sure.
And catch me on 72 Most Dangerous Animals of Latin America. I play a brown recluse.
Gorgeous. Thanks so much, guys. Hang in there. We love you. God loves you. Until next time.